Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I pray your word hit its mark, Lord. I pray for souls. If there's someone here today who does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that today is the day that they come into the saving knowledge of you. Lord, have your way in this service. Do what only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. After service, you want, I brought a couple new books. As many of y'all know, I went through cancer. So I have a story on that and how God can heal. Then a marriage book and how to hear God. But y'all can check that out at the end if you feel led by the Lord. Amen. All right, let's jump in. Okay, 38 seconds. Okay, I got my time. We good to go. I'm going to be on time. Oh, did y'all say take my time? I was going to make sure, you know, because I know my church, you know, last service, they go buck wild because they know there's no more services. I saw Polo. I saw him. Let me sing my battle. You know, just kept on going. I know. I saw that. All right. Today's message. And as Pastor Evan told you, he didn't give me any prescribed script. So I just meditate and ask God and say, what does Word of Truth need to hear right now? And God gave me this word. Where have you settled? Where have you settled? Bruce Wilkinson said a story about a man who got to heaven. And when he got to heaven, he was on a tour. And during the tour, he was showing them all the things that happened in heaven. And as they were driving on the streets of gold, he saw a big warehouse. It was like 10 Amazon supercenters. Y'all know that's ginormous. And he's driving by, and the man says, "What's over there?" He said, "That's the warehouse of dreams." He said, "Warehouse of dreams?" He said, "Well, I want to check it out." He said, "No, well, you in heaven now. You don't want to look at that." He said, "No, I want to check out the warehouse of dreams." So they drove to the warehouse of dreams. And when they went in the door, it was floor to ceiling with boxes, all dressed up. He says, "Do I have a box?" He said, "Absolutely." He said, "Well, let's go to my box." So they drive in the car about 2 miles. It's heaven, y'all. It's heaven. He gets his box and opens the box up. And in the box was everything God wanted him to be that he never was. We don't want to get to heaven and God says, "You could have been. You should have been. But you didn't have the faith to go for it." One day we'll get there. And we want to hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, entered in the joy of the Lord." Say, neighbor, I'm not settling for less than what God has called me to. Our first object lesson is from Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11 is a man named Terah. If you don't know, Terah is the father of Abraham. We're going to jump into Genesis 11, 26. Now, church, I want y'all to know, we're going to read together. Say, neighbor, we're going to read together. Now look and say, neighbor, if you go to napping, I'm going to go to slapping. Come on, say, neighbor, you can't miss this word today. Now, if you have somebody in front of you, push your hand on, say, neighbor, I'm looking at the back of your head. I'm looking right at the back of your head. And if I see you start sliding to the side, I'm gonna straighten you up. Now I look back and say, neighbor, if you put your hands on me, it's gonna be a misunderstanding up in here. Y'all ready? Genesis 11, 26, let's read. After Terah had lived 70 years, he became the father of Abraham, Nahor, and Haran, his firstborn. Okay. What's the firstborn's name? Praise the Lord. We're working. Now, these are the records of the descendants of Terah. Terah was the father of Abram, who became Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran was the father of Lot. Haran what? Okay, verse 28. Haran died. Haran what? Before his father, Terah, in the land of his birth, in Ur of the Chaldeans. That means the hot place. Okay, verse 29. Abraham and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Ishka. But Sarah was barren. She did not have a child. Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abraham's wife, and they went out together to go from Ur of Chaldeans into the land of Canaan. They're going from where? Ur of the Chaldeans to, everyone say, the promised land. But when they came to Haran, about 550 miles northwest of Ur, they settled there. I'm leaving Ur of Chaldeans. I'm going to the promised land. But I settled in Haran. Some of you had some dreams, some goals, some aspirations, and something didn't work out the way you thought, and you settled there. Some of you had some bad relationships, and because of the bad relationship, now you've settled here. Sometimes if you only had bad, you get good, and you settle for good when God had the best. Sometimes if you're not careful, you will settle for less than God's called you to, because this is the best you ever had. But what if God had another level for you? What if God had more for you? You can't settle where you go. The Bible says we go from faith to faith and glory to glory. What if God has more glory for you? Say, neighbor, I can't settle for this. See, the reality is I run hot, y'all. I run hot. The reality is we must ask ourselves a question. Why did Abram's father, Terah, settle there? It's in the text. His firstborn son died. When drama happens, you often leave with trauma. And when you have trauma, you often will stay in a place of where the trauma happened. Because see, you now become the pain that you've been through. Not realizing there's something else, but this is all I know. And hurt people end up hurting people. And now I'm stuck in my pain and I feel like I'm a victim. But my Bible says, yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. My Bible says in James 1:2, count it all joy when you fall in various trials and testings, for the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you might be complete and perfect and lacking nothing. What was meant to define you was only supposed to refine you, make you better. See, understand, diamonds are made under pressure. See, pressure can bust pipes or make a diamond. It's all based on what's made on the inside of you. You must make up your mind that this too. Don't allow what you've been through to become who you are. This is just something I have to go. The Bible says he settled there, and I believe the pain of losing his firstborn. He never got over that pain. And sometimes, if you're not careful, you will allow the pain of your past, the abuse, the addiction, the divorce, the bankruptcy, the failure, you will allow that thing to keep you bound. And you must understand, for who the Son has set free is free indeed. And say, neighbor, I can't settle for this. God is calling me higher. There's another level to this. But you gotta make up your mind that God has called you higher. Say, neighbor, I can't settle for this. Hallelujah. There are multiple examples of people in the Bible who settled. There's a person named Lot. Now, isn't it interesting? Lot's a part of this story, but it's all going to come together. In Genesis 19, Abraham has just went to save Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. On the way, the angels are dragging him. And he says this, verse 18, Genesis 19, 18. Oh, no, my Lord. Lot begged. I wanted to say, you should be happy to be alive. but I'm not going to say that. Verse 19, you have been so gracious to me and saved my life, and you have shown such great kindness, but I cannot go to the mountains. If you know the story, God held back the storm so he can get out. So if God waited for him to get out, why wouldn't God wait for him to get to the mountain? Look what he says. Disaster would catch up to me. Key point, he says, I cannot go, meaning his will was to stay there. Because God gives us free. So God called him to the mountain, but he settled for a molehill. God will call you high, but you have to be willing to go. He says this, verse 20, see, there is a small village nearby. Please let me go there instead. Take me to the small town versus the mountain. He begged for it. Don't you see how small it is? If you know deeper story, he goes there. His daughters end up sleeping with him because they were no man, because he should have never been there. Because God had called him to the, and God has called some of you to the mountain. And you can't settle for where you are right now. Say, neighbor, I'm not settling. Let's go to Esau. You know the Bible should be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But it's not. Because Esau settled. Here it is. Genesis 25, 32. Look, I'm dying of starvation, said Esau. What good is my birthright to me now? But Jacob said, first you must swear that your birthright is mine. So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling his rights as the firstborn to his brother, Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and showed contempt for his firstborn rights. Do you know God speaks so negatively of him because he didn't see himself right? Deuteronomy 20 says, I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not below. Blessed coming in, blessed coming out. I'm the lender. See, you got to see yourself right. Because see, if you don't see yourself right, you will settle for less than. Genesis 1:26 says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Say, neighbor, the book said, I'm stunting like my daddy. Some of y'all don't know that word, stunting. I'm representing my father. I'm made in my father's image. So I have a certain expectation of myself, and I won't settle for less. See, some of y'all will settle for a steak and a lobster. Shots fired. I ain't scared of y'all. And you will settle for less than because someone gives you a meal. Well, I feel obligated. You know, it was a nice restaurant. He said he just want a nightcap. No, he want to cap you at night. Okay? Say, neighbor, he talks to you. Mama, don't settle for less than what God has called you to. Because sometimes in the process of you settling, you miss what God had for you. Judas settled. Judas is a disciple, the treasurer of Jesus, and he settles for 30 shekels of gold, silver. The Bible says in Matthew 26:15, and he asked, how much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you? And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. He settled. Don't let money make you settle for what God's called you to. He's one of the 12. He settled. I don't have the scripture, but the rich young ruler, he settled. God says, follow. Jesus said, come follow me. I'll make you a disciple. He said, no, I got too much. Settle. So what you have to understand in the faith walk, the devil will give you opportunities for you to settle for less than. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus could have settled for some bread. So his goal is to get you to settle for less than you're worth. So you have to make up your mind, am I a giant killer or a grasshopper? It's a mentality. Four keys I'm going to give you today. Number one, you got to go before God will show. You have to go before God shows. The challenge with believers is we want God to show before we go. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And this is the same Abraham who was in Haran. His father got stuck there, but he making a move. His father was stuck there, but he making a move. His father was stuck there. Some of you have generational curses that have people stuck in your family, but somebody got to be the chain breaker. I don't know who I'm talking to, but just because mama was on welfare don't mean, listen, I'm going to be the Joseph of my family. Somebody got to rise up and say, I'm not settling for nothing less. I'm going to be the chain breaker. Who's going to be the chain breaker in your family? You got to make up your mind that we will not settle for less. Abraham says, okay, daddy didn't make it. That does not mean. It says this in Genesis 12:1. Now in where? Remember, Haran. Stop. The Lord said to Abraham, go away from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house. Here it is. To a land I will what? That's my point. You got to go before he shows. That's faith. See, you want God to show before you go. That's why you haven't started the business yet. That's why you have not made your move, because see, I don't see it. Well, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is believing it so when it's not so, in order for it to be so. And every believer should say so. Faith is total obedience without total understanding. I'm just going to walk it out. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm just going to trust God. So he says, leave your family, leave your kindred. Now, why? Because they don't see you right. Because see, as long as they see you as little Johnny, this is Bible. The Bible says the prophet gets no honor in his home. So he says, you got to leave to find your honor. Because they will always see you as who you used to be. And God has done a new thing in me. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are new. I'm a new creature in Christ. So he says, you got to go. He also said, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'm jumping to number two. Now with this, Hebrews 11:1, now faith. Then we go to Hebrews 11:6. It says this, for it is impossible to please God without faith. For those who come to God must first believe that he exists and believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So God rewards those who seek him in faith. Then you go to Romans 4:16. Therefore, the promises of God are received or inherited by faith. So the only way for me to access the promise of God is by faith. Crazy story. Years ago, my money was funny, my change was strange. Say, neighbor, I feel you on that. I feel you on that. My money was funny, my change was strange. I was in the NFL, and I thought I would have more years to play. I told Charmaine, when I get my second contract, I'll buy you a rock. Well, the second contract never came. Don't laugh at me. The NFL for me means not for long. And with that, I didn't have the money I thought. And I said, okay, Lord. And then one year I said, Lord, I want to bless your daughter, but I don't have the money. I don't have the money, but I want to bless her. I'm in church on a Sunday. I'm not a pastor. Just so you understand that God's no respecter of person. I was not a pastor. I was just serving. And a man comes in and puts a ring in my pocket. It's a male pinky ring. I don't know what it is because, you know, I'm not up on diamonds. My wife worked in a jewelry store. So I said, what's this? And her face started lighting up. I said, don't worry. Don't get too happy. I'm going to put in my earring in my ear like KG. That's what I told her. I didn't mean that, you know. So I go to the jewelry store. And the jewelry store lady, she says, don't listen to him. All he do is window shop. So disrespectful. See, I'm by faith. I'm going to the jewelry store by faith. I don't know who's going to pay for me today. I'm going by faith. So I'll go and look and look and look. That's Matthew 7:7. Ask, seek, knock. And she says, where did you get this from? I said, I got it from church. Well, who gave it to you? I said, this guy. She says, it's a 3.5-carat solitaire. Meaning, I never paid for it, but I put it before my Father. You have not because you... If you see the ring on a finger, understand I ain't pay for it. Everyone say faith did. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. Faith takes the supernatural and bring it to the natural. If you could get the faith on something, so all you do is get the word on faith. And though my money was funny, God's account was always swole. God's account is always full. But the challenge, you have to take it off of you and say, Lord, here's key point. It wasn't about me. Lord, I want to bless your daughter. See, you got to learn how to talk to God. Not about me, Lord. I want to bless your daughter. This is what I want to do for her. Man, say neighbor. You better get your word right. Number two. You got to learn to check your bags. We went to Europe last year. Took our parents to Europe, right? And so I love going to London's really fun. Paris is interesting, but neither here nor there. So we're there. The problem with going to Europe is you have to have a specific kind of bag. Because they have smaller restrictions. So the U.S. restrictions don't work. So we had some issues, and my wife can get frustrated with people at times at the airport. And so she's trying to reorganize our bags and all this other stuff. It was funny at the time, but she wasn't laughing. And we had to check our bags. There's some trips God wants you to go on, you have to check some bags. Where God is trying to take you to, you can't go with some people. Let's go to the book. Let's go to the book. Genesis 13. It says this. Genesis 13. We're going to read. So Abraham went up out of Egypt. He and his wife and all he had and Lot his nephew. Time out. Stop. This is chapter 13, right? In chapter 12, didn't God say leave your family behind? Come on, let's read the book. So Abraham went out of Egypt, and he and his wife and all he had, and Lot, his nephew, with him in Negev. Now Abraham was extremely rich in livestock and silver and gold. Just for those of you who are against money, he said livestock, then he said silver and gold, and silver and gold always money. Okay, focus. He journeyed on from Negev as far as Bethel to a place where his tent had been in the beginning. Between Bethel and Ai, where he had built his first altar and where Abraham called on the name of the Lord in prayer. But Lot, it's the first but in the story. But Lot, who went with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them. The land was not able to support them. Some of you are supporting adults. And wonder why your money's funny. The land was not able to support them. That is to sustain all their grazing water needs while they lived with one another. For their possessions were too great to stay together. A lot of your frustrations because you're carrying weight you should not be carrying. The Bible says, pick up your cross and follow me. But you got your cross, your son's cross, your mama cross, your auntie cross. Wonder why you're back now? Because you're carrying everybody's cross. God's to carry your cross. Say, neighbor, I don't know who he's talking to, but he's talking about somebody right now. Mm-hmm. You got full grown adults. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't. He says, listen, so Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife, no beef, no arguments, disagreement between you and me, no between our herdsmen and your herdsmen. We are relatives. Is not the entire America before you? All of Dallas, Houston? Please separate yourself from me. Some of y'all need to go home and have a conversation today. You've been here too long. It's the book. Even the Bible says don't visit a person's house too long. That's the book. Because they're going to start looking at you crazy. You ever had somebody at your house start hiding food? Eat your food. Hide their food. I know I'm talking right. You up in my house, I'm paying all the bills, and you got a stash in your room, but you eating my cornflakes, but you got Frosted Flakes in your room. Your devil is a liar. Y'all know how them people do. Eat up all your food. Don't put nothing on it. And then look at you talking about we hungry. If you don't get behind me, Satan. Focus, Jomo. Focus, 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 focus. They say, stay there. I'm gonna leave it all over you. Y'all go deal with your own problems. This ain't my problem. Hebrews 12:1. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, who by faith have testified of the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and sin, which so easily and cleverly entangles, let us run with endurance after persistence. Now, have you seen a runner with a backpack? Have you seen a sprinter run with a whole bunch of clothes? Because they're trying to win a race. Notice he says wait before sin. He says stripping off the weight and the sin. Why didn't he say sin then wait? Well, sin, as Psalms 51 says, David says, we were born into sin. Meaning sin is a pre-existing condition. But the weight you choose to carry is on you. So a lot of your problems is not the sin issue, because we all got that one. The real issue are the people you're choosing to carry. He says, so half of your problem is you're carrying other people's bags. And Erica Badu said it best. Bag lady, you're going to miss your bus. Carrying all them bags. I think it's Badu. Is that Badu Charmaine? Yeah, bag lady, you might miss your bus. I got my own bags. Number three, God's going to test your heart. Okay, number one, you got to go where he shows you. Number two, you're going to have to separate from some people. You have to be careful who you fellowship with and which fellows you allow in your ship. Say that real slow. You gotta be careful who you fellowship with. Women of God, be careful which fellow you allow in your ship. Because see, people will take you up and take you down. Because truth is, Jonah took the whole ship down. Having the wrong person on your boat might sink you. Genesis 22 says this. Genesis 22. Verse 1, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Okay, so if God tested Abraham's faith, what's the likelihood you're going to get tested? Now, think about it. In Genesis chapter 12, he left his family. In Genesis 13, he had to separate from Lot. In Genesis 14, he had to fight with the kings and he had to give a tithe to Melchizedek. Then he had to let go of Hagar, the side chick. Then he had to let go of Ishmael, his son. So that means God has been testing them the whole time. So is this another test? So it says, God tested him. Verse 2, take your son, your only son. Yes, Isaac. I know who you love, whom you love so much. And go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountains, which I'll show you. Notice again, go, and then God will show. Verse 3, the next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took his servants with him, along with son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for fire as a burnt offering set out for the place God had called him to go. By the way, Isaac is a Christ type. Isaac carrying the wood is symbolic of Christ carrying the cross. Verse 5. So there with the donkey, Abraham told the servants, the boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship there and then we will come back. Wait, whoa. God said you want to sacrifice the boy. Notice what God called sacrifice, Abraham called worship. So your worship should be a offered God the sacrifice of my praise. So Abraham had grown his faith to understand every time I sacrifice, I am worshiping. This is when you graduate in your faith, because your sacrifice is now my worship. When Christ hung on the cross, it was called the passion. It was worship. Verse 6, Abraham placed the wood on burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders. While he was himself carried the knife, and as the two were walking together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father, I'm paraphrasing, I see the wood chips, I see the charcoal, where the ribs at, Daddy? Come on, man, I see we be making a fire, but where the meat at, Daddy? He says this in verse 8, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered, and they both walked together. Notice, this is another revelation. You can't communicate everything on people's level. Because see, at that point, if he says, son, you the sacrifice. Wisdom. I don't know how God gonna do it, but I'm not talking about this. Also, Abraham didn't tell his wife. Meaning, you have to understand the level of revelation God gave you, and not everyone could handle the revelation God gave you. What did God tell you to do? Because sometimes you mess up the plan telling everybody your plan, and all of a sudden they start conspiring against you because you told people who should have never known what God had told you to do. Sometimes the person who broke up the blessing was your mouth. Not everybody need to know what God told. Hallelujah. Verse 10, I'm jumping back in. And Abraham picked a knife up to kill his son. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy. Don't hurt him. For now I know. Hey, what you mean, now I know? You know all the other sacrifices I made? Now I know? Because God was after his heart. God doesn't want your money, he wants your heart. And if where your money is, that's where your heart is, that's what he's coming for. He wants your heart. Now, here's the deeper revelation. God had to find a man with enough faith to give his earthly son as a seed so he could release Jesus as an offering. Seed, time, and offering. So God doesn't go outside of his system, because the Bible says, I rise above, my word above my name. So for me to fix the earth issue, I gotta sow a seed, and the seed is Jesus. The Bible calls it the seed of David. So for me to fix the earth, I have to sow a seed. So whatever problem you have to sow a seed to get a harvest. So God says, I gotta fix the earth. So Jesus says, I will be the seed. And you are the harvest. So God says, I have to find a man who would trust me with his son, and I'll give you my son. Yeah. Hallelujah. Number 4, my last point. You're going to have to apply the word to your situation. Number one, you're going to have to go before you show. Number two, you have to check your bags. Not everyone could go with you where God is taking you. Hallelujah. Number three, as our friend, you're going to have to make a sacrifice. Growing where God wants you, it's going to be a sacrifice. And number four, you got to walk out the word. Here it is, Matthew chapter 14. Just going to preach. Immediately, he directed the disciples to get into the boat. He had just preached. Go ahead of him to the other side. Everyone say, neighbor, if God said, I'm going to meet you on the other side, it means you're going to get to the other side. Meaning, it does not matter what comes, because Jesus said he gonna meet me on the other side. So come hell or high water, I already know. And he sent the crowds away, verse 23, and he had dismissed the crowds. He went up to the mountain by himself to pray. If Jesus prayed, do you think you might need to make some time? Okay. When he was evening, he was alone. But the boat by this time had already been a long distance from the land, tossed and battered by the waves, for the wind was against them. In the fourth watch at night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. When disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried in fear. But immediately he spoke to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Peter replied to him, Lord, if it is really you, command me to come on the water. Let's work this text. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, Christ. And the Word is with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh. That's John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And his name was Jesus. So Jesus is the Word. Everyone say, Jesus is the Word. Say it again. Okay, so go to John 1:14. John 1:14 says this. And the Word became flesh and lived among us and showed us his glory. Okay? Now, if you go to Revelations 19:13, it says this. Obviously, if you don't know, Revelations is the back of the book. Some of y'all get that next week. Revelations 19:13 says, he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Okay, so Pastor, put it all together for me. They're in the boat. There's a storm. Jesus walked by. They're all scared. Simon Peter said, hey, bro, can I come out there with you? He says, command me to. Here's the relation. God, through Jesus, is the Word. So he says, I studied the book. I've never seen a walking on water word. Yes. So right now, I want you to create a command, which will be the word I can walk on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We walk by. Faith. So I studied the book. I haven't seen a walking water word, Jesus. So now in the midst of where I am, I want you to create a word that I can walk on. Because see, the word shall not return void. So as soon as Jesus started speaking the word, so I need a word to walk on. So he says, command me, because see, if you command me is the power to fulfill it. Because God's word cannot return void. Numbers 23:19 says, for God is not a man that he shall lie, nor the son of man that he shall repent. If he said it, so he says, all I need you to do is give me the word. So I'm not walking by faith, I'm walking on the word. So whatever situation you have, all you have to do is get the word and walk on it. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:3, the world was formed by the word of God. So Simon says, if I get a word from you, I know I can walk on it. If you go to verse 29 of Matthew 14, he said this. He said, come. He didn't say, come, Peter.
That's right.
He said, come. What's the revelation? When Jesus went to go get Lazarus at the tomb, He said, Lazarus, come out. If Jesus would have said, come, every dead body would have come. So he had to specify, come Lazarus, so only he would come out. But at the boat, he says, come. Meaning anybody bad enough to want to get out, come. Come to me. All those who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come. So here's my question. What boat has you bound? What boat have you not stepped out of? The miracle is on the water and not in the boat. What has God called you to step on? You can't put a limit on God. The only person that limits your level is you. He says, I need a word. Come. So I land the plane, big believers. Some of you right now may have health issues. I was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer a while back, went through chemo, I'm healed and everything's good. But what I did was, I had to get a word. Exodus 15:26 says, I am the Lord God who takes sickness and disease away from you. Isaiah 53:5 says, by his stripes, I am healed. 3 John 2 says, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, just as your soul prospers. And I started talking to my body, in the name of Jesus, I command every organ and every tissue of my body to line up. Sickness and disease cannot remain in my body. My healing comes forth speedily like the morning sun. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Some of you here, you scary. You're always afraid. Well, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Psalms 23:4 says, yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out all fear. Well, Pastor, I'm stressed out. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all my cares upon the Lord, for he cares for me. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to him, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard my heart and guard my mind. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You got to make up your mind, for the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, for death and life are in the power of the tongue. Jesus says, speak to your mountain. I don't know what mountain you deal with today, but you better open your mouth and speak to your mountain. My ladder shall be greater. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning time. Lord, I thank you that your word shall not return void, but it will accomplish what you please. Believer, whatever situation you have, get the word on it. My money is funny, Pastor. Psalms 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. David said in Psalms 37:25, I've been young and now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. Well, Pastor, I don't know about my future. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, for it is written, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither enter the heart of man all that God has in store for those who walk uprightly. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have, you said the Lord, plans to prosper, give you hope, give you expected end. You were fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image and God's likeness, and God don't make junk. You better make up in your mind who you are in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Father God, I thank you for your words in Proverbs 28:1. For the righteous are bold as lions. 1 John 5:14-15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we shall receive the things that we've asked of him. Lord, you are an ever-present help in a time of trouble. Lord, your word says, if we draw nigh to you, you will draw nigh to us. Lord, your word says, your eyes are on the sparrow. Father God, I know that you're watching out for me. Lord, your word says you'll be with me always to the end of time. Pastor, what are you doing? This is how I fight my battle. You better make up in your mouth. You fight your battle with the word of God. For the Bible says, God only gives you one weapon. It's a sword. And the sword is the word of God. And the Bible says you cut to pieces the snares of the enemy by speaking the word of God. And this is how you fight your battle. You get the word, and if you can go to a doctor and they give you a script and you follow the script, God gave you a whole book of scriptures. You get the script on that thing and you start eating that word. Jesus said in Matthew 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is how you fight your battle. We are in a faith fight. And 2 Timothy 4:7 says, fight the good fight. Finish your course. Keep the faith. Come on, repeat after me. Just fight the good fight. Finish your course. Keep the faith. That's the battle. To stay in faith. When the storms come, stay in faith. When trials come, stay in faith. When you've done all that you have, stay. Bow your heads, close your eyes. I ask you right now, do you know him? Do you know Jesus, our Lord and Savior? For he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. If you have not made Jesus your Lord and Savior, let today be the day you call him Lord. Some of you here today may be in a backsliding condition. You know what to do, but you're not doing what you know. If you want something different, you have to do something different. Change begins with you. Some of you are looking for a home church. This is a great place to call home, where you get sound teaching. This is how you change. This is how you win your battle. Get plugged in. Those who are planted in the house of God will flourish. Trust God. With all eyes closed, I want you to lift your hands. This year I'm talking to you right now. Salvation, rededication, I see you. God bless you.